is good once again to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth, doing what we are commanded to do. It should not be a burden to anyone to assemble together with the saints, to come and to sing praises unto the Lord, that we may edify one another, to give, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to pray, and to hear His word being proclaimed. As we come together, there are times where you have heard your parents tell you it's better to be seen sometime than to be heard. Well, on this morning, I want you to know that we hear about a whole lot of things concerning God's word that we do not see. Amen. A whole lot of them. And we're just going to look at a few on this morning, and we will continue on this evening. And for those of you that have a problem with chaos, well, this is done on this PowerPoint presentation. I didn't separate it like I normally do. I just put it all up there for you at one time. Soak it in. Soak it in. We don't not have to worry about the sin of anybody else. We have to worry about our own sins. Amen. And believe me, we have enough of them. To be thinking about giving a chance to live throughout all eternity. We don't have to worry about what our children are doing. And our children do not have to worry about what we're doing. Because we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in his body, whether good or whether bad. Ezekiel chapter 18, the verse is 20. And we're not going to look at all these verses, but we're going to look at several. For they point some important things out to us as we consider the topic once again, heard but not seen. As for his father, because he, am I right, 18:20, the soul that sinned, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Now, let's think about it for a moment. How many of you seen your parents do something that wasn't right and they got in trouble for it? Or how many of our parents seen us do things that was not right and we got in trouble for it? A parent go out and rob a bank, the child doesn't have to go to jail. The child go out and steal a car, the parent don't have to go to jail. It's no different with God. The sin that the parent commits, the parent is going to have to give an account of that sin. The sin that the child commits, the child is going to have to give an account of that sin. He says, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You do what you do and you will have to give an account for it. I do what I do and I'm going to have to give an account for it. Chris, our youngest son, we don't have to give an account of anything that Chris does. Chris is a grown man. He always tells us that. He's grown. I'm glad that Chris is grown. But we still have a responsibility to instruct our children the right things to do, the way they should govern their lives. But when it comes down time to stand before the judgment throne, I can't sit there and say, Lord, you know, remember it's Chris now. No, Chris is going to have to do that himself.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's sitting up here on the front row this morning so I could use him. Chris don't mind me using him. I just want y'all to know that right now. Today, anyway. Mark chapter 10. Because when it all boils down to it, talking about this inherited sin, man is just talking. But God is serious when he says, we are going to have to do what we're supposed to do. If it was all about inherited sin, why did Jesus say these words here in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 13? And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But Jesus saw it and he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. See, if it was that the children had to bear the sins of the fathers, Jesus would have said, yeah, leave them over there where they are. Don't let them come to me. But he said, they do not have sin. He said, for such is the kingdom of God. See, each one of us need to be as those little children. Amen. We need to get our lives right and we need to accept the teachings that we find in the Bible that someone can point them out to us, book, chapter, and verse. Now, I'm not going to stand before you this morning again and try to read you all the Bible, but there are some good scriptures that I want you to see where man has been so wrong. Always telling you, well, it's there. No, it's not there when they say things as inherited sin or ways of salvation. You've been called. How have you been called? You've been accepted. How have you been accepted? You don't need to do anything. Well, you need to do some things. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, to verses 36. When we start talking about the ways of salvation, we need to be able to point people to God's Word and tell them how they are supposed to be saved. Acts, chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, not a different Jesus, but that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, this is what God has done. God didn't say, you know, if you want salvation, all you got to do is walk up and down the street 90 times. No, you're not going to receive salvation like that. All you have to do is say this special prayer. No, you're not going to receive salvation like that. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't say, do nothing. Peter said, then said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need to do something. If you want salvation, if you're here this morning, you need to do something. And that is not sitting in your seat saying, Lord, come into my heart.
Amen.
No. You need to do something. Acts chapter 22 to verses 16. We're skipping 9 verses 1 through 6. It's talking about there where Paul or Saul saw that bright light shining from heaven and heard that voice. And when he was told what to do, we find here in Acts chapter 22, the verse is 16. What do you need to do? Those of you that are sitting there and want salvation, you need to do something. And now while tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, Saul was told to get up and be baptized. You know, there are those that say, well, you know, when you look at baptism like this, it's only talking about that Paul was going to be or Saul was going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If that was the case, he had no need to get up. But it said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You need to do something in order to gain salvation.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. You have obeyed. I mean, you did something. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You leave one life in order to start a new life. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a slave or a servant unto righteousness. I know there are you that said, "Oh, I'm not a slave to anything." Oh, yes, you are. You may not realize it, but you are. I'd much rather be a slave unto God than a slave unto the devil. Amen. To serve Him, because this is what is pleasing unto Him, that we obey His commands, that we are obedient unto salvation, realizing that there is something that we need to do. Something that we need to do. And once you're saved, look what it says. There's something. Most all are saved. Most all are not saved. Oh, you once you gain your salvation, you don't never have to worry about losing your salvation. Oh, yes, you do. Once saved, always saved is a lie. When you die, you're going to go directly to heaven. But when you die, you're going to await the judgment. See, that's something that people do not tell, because people do not go through the Bible. They do not go to the scriptures that they need to in order to prove these things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. All will not be saved. We can preach and teach God's word all day long. There are individuals that just refuse to obey because they like to go down the wrong road.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But whatever happened to most all saved? Some of you say, "Well, I never heard that before." Good. Good. But that's what they teach out there in the world. That's what the denominational groups teach, that most everybody is going to be saved. Where Jesus said most everybody is not going to be saved, because most everybody want to go down that broad path. They want to go down that road that has been traveled by many. Well, we need to go down that straight and narrow path where only a few has traveled it before. But there awaits at the end of it a great reward. Many will not get it. Why? Because many do not stay in God's word the way they need to. Verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Oh, that sounds good, don't it? "Lord, look, we prophesied in your name. Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name." That don't faze the Lord. Words are just words. It takes action. It takes commitment to do things that are pleasing unto God. Verse 23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You depart from me. Don't want anything else to do with you. You're being cast out into outer darkness, out of the presence of the Lord. So, you can lose your salvation.
Amen.
You can say that you're doing things that are pleasing to God, but yet, is God really pleased? Just because you say the name of Jesus doesn't mean that God likes what you're doing.
Amen.
Doesn't mean all that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Can't fall away from grace. if that's the case, we just need to close this book right now and say, well, I'm not going to believe anything else in it. For the Bible says you can. You can. Galatians chapter 5, to verses 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Yeah. Oh, brother Butch was praying about the grace and the mercy of God. You know, if we say that we're gonna do things according to the law, we're falling from grace. And we don't want to fall from grace. We want to always be there in the good graces of our God. Ready to, you know, enjoy every blessing that He has given us in Christ Jesus. Ready to do those things. So you're not saved for eternity. You can fall from grace. In the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 through 34. Are you ready for that great day? If you died right now, would you be in paradise or would you be in torment? You're not going directly to heaven. Oh, my mama died and she's up in heaven looking down upon me. Don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Amen.
Most cases, mama didn't live the way she was supposed to live anyway. Even come judgment, mama's not going to get to heaven. Yeah, that's a sad thing. But it's true. There's a lot of people that we think that are going to be in heaven is not going to be there. And guess what? Some of us are not going to be there as well.
Amen.
We're not going to make it because we're not doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He set up on the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the end, I want to ask you something. There are two commands that are going to be given. Enter in or depart from me. Which do you want to hear? Which do you want to hear? When you're outside in the rain and you're knocking on somebody's door and they don't have a canopy over their front porch and you're just getting soaking wet, what do you want to do? Do you want to stand outside or do you want to come in the house? Think about it. There's a lot of people that's not going to make it in. They're not going to make it in because their knock is not being recognized.
Amen.
They're not going to make it in because their face is not going to be recognized. And it's not going to be because, you know, they're knocking a different way. Or they're not going to make it in because their face has been in a wreck and they can't recognize. They're not going to be let in because they haven't done what they were supposed to in order to get in. When Noah built the ark, God told him, He said, you and your family are going to be saved. Once that ramp was let up and that rain began to come down, there were many that was trying to get in, I'm sure. They didn't know how to swim. They were trying to get in, but it's too late. It's too late. So when you die, you're going to wait judgment. The Bible teaches us that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. How will you be judged? Oh, many are going to be judged about the way that they worship, the place in which they worship. People say, oh, you worship at the church of your choice. It doesn't matter where you worship as long as you worship. Don't believe it. They can tell it to you, but they can't show it to you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. Oh, they can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. Always saying this and that, but never being able to point you to it. Matthew chapter 16, the verses 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, or the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. My church, Jesus said, not the church that some man built, He said, I'm going to build my church. And when he built his church, that is the only church that he recognizes.
Amen.
You don't believe it? Let's keep reading. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. I hope you're looking in your Bibles. I hope you're taking notes and you go back home and you talk about these things. Because we need to understand that if the Bible says it, it must be true. If man says it and he can't show it to you, it must be a lie. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of every denominational group that ever has been rose up in this world. So we got some disagreement. Well, what's the problem? The problem is, that's not Bible.
Amen.
That's the problem. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
That some man might have the preeminence? No. You know, we can go through and we can look at where every denominational group came from, because some man's name is attached to it. They cannot trace their religion back to the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Christ said what? I will build my church.
Amen.
Paul said what? He is the head of the body, what? The church.
Amen.
Scripture. That's what we need. We need individuals to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit in order to be saved. That's Bible. Pure Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Acts chapter 8, 14, verse 14. It says here in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 as well. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not the church of your choice. Is what God has instructed, what He has commanded, and it is what we should obey. The church of your choice is the wrong choice. You ride down the highways and you see it on the back of big trucks. On a Sunday morning now, you ride down the highway behind a big church, say, attend the church of your choice. Where is the driver going? You think he's going to church? Don't follow him. Don't follow him. You may want to take a detour. You may want to get on your GPS and find out what the closest local congregation is where you are, because that big truck is trying to get home. He's not trying to go to the church of his choice that day. It's just something that somebody asked him to put on back of that truck, and they're paying them to put it on back of there promptly. They probably don't worship anywhere. If it's not the choice that Christ made, the church that he built, it is the wrong choice and the wrong church.
Amen.
Which leads us into, if it's the church of your choice, there has to be a pope. Has to be a pope. Because in 606, when the Catholic Church came into existence, it was too late.
Amen.
Too late. 600 years too late. But they have them. They say Peter was the first pope. Hadn't read it anywhere in the scriptures. You hear it, but you can't read it. And remember this. If Peter was the first pope, that means all the popes after him had brought in a new law where they said that the pope couldn't be married. Because Peter was what? Peter was married. The Bible said his mother-in-law. I have no idea what her name was. But Peter was married. Matthew chapter 23, verse 8 through 10. The Pope is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. We don't need any titles, do we? We don't need someone to run around calling you Father. We don't need someone to run around calling you Master. The Bible says we are all brethren.
Amen.
We're all brethren. And let's not get this all wrong now. Just because you're a man doesn't make you my brother. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you my brother. You have to go back and look at those other things. How did you become my brother? Jesus says, you know, he that doeth the will of my Father, that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my mother. So look at what the scriptures say. We don't call no man rabbi. We don't do it. We know, when we start looking at these different titles, you know, as for a father, doctor, reverend, or the pastor, have no scripture for it. You hear it all the time, but you have no scripture for it. Had a phone call from a man on the radio, and he told me his name was Reverend Roberson. And I said, "What'd you say your name was?" "Proud." He said, "Reverend Roberson." I said, "Did your mama name you that?" He said, "Yes, she did. She named me Roberson." I said, "No, that's not what you told me your name was." And he said, "No, she didn't." Why try to give ourselves titles that God did not authorize?
Amen.
See, we have to stay with the Bible. And I know that there are many people that don't like the truth. But guess what? It's not going to change the truth. The truth is always going to be the same.
Amen.
Let's consider what God says. Let's consider what God told us to do. We go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. So you hear these things, but you don't see them. You hear these things, but you don't see them.
Amen.
1 Timothy 2, verse 11. Let the women learn in what? Silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being was deceived, was in transgression. What do we hear? We hear that women can preach, women can teach. Women can stand over a group of men and proclaim God's word. The Bible didn't say that. Man says it. Man says it. If the Bible don't say it, what do we need to do? We need to leave it alone.
Man.
We need to back away from it. We need to say, you are a false teacher. You are one that I do not need to have fellowship with. You are one that I need to push away from me. You are one that need to go back and examine the doctrine that you're teaching. And find out where it really came from. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Who is this man, Peter? And what right did he have to write these things? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He wasn't a pope, was he? If he was a pope, he would have said it right here. Simon Peter, the pope. The Bible doesn't say that. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's who Peter was. He was one of the ones that was always speaking. And the rest of the apostles was in agreement with him, because it said Peter and the rest of the apostles, there. They stood together. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the rest of the apostles. And what did he do? He proclaimed the word of God. He didn't stand up and say, "Hey, here I am, Peter the first pope." He stood up to tell them what they had done wrong. And I believe that's what we need to continue to do today. We need to stand up and tell people what they've done wrong. We need to stand up and show people where they've gone wrong. Inherited sin is wrong. There's no doctrine that you can find in God's Word that's going to back it up. The way to obtain salvation is only found in the book that is called the Bible.
Amen.
There are many people that have wrote articles now. They wrote these things down and had the nerve enough to copyright them. But what they have done is they are plagiarized because they have taken words straight out of the Bible and put it in their things and say, you can't use it unless you have my permission. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's the way that you get salvation.
Amen.
And we find that example in the Bible. There's no other way that you're going to be able to obtain salvation. You're not, when you die, you're not going to go directly to heaven. Even the man, the thief on the cross, is what a lot of people like to say. Well, what about the thief on the cross? Where is he at? The Bible didn't say that when Jesus said, this day you are going to go with me into heaven, because what? Jesus didn't even go into heaven that day.
Right.
When he was taken down off that cross, he did not go to heaven. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise, not heaven. So there are many that are saying that they went straight to heaven. How many times have you ever heard somebody say they went straight to hell? You tell them that while they're living, but once they die, oh no, somehow or another, between the time that they, you know, were laid in that casket to the time they were put in that ground, they somehow or another have gotten their lives right. No, don't work like that.
Amen.
Church of your choice. If it's not the choice that God made, it's not the choice that Christ made, if it's not the church that He built, it's the wrong choice.
Amen.
The head of the church is Jesus Christ. We have four elders here. They're not the head of the church.
Amen.
They're not. They're leaders of the local congregation.
Amen.
So those are things that we need to consider when we start talking about heard but not seen. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. And you've been taught that you have inherited someone else's sins. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. You're not a Christian because you never heard the gospel proclaimed before, understanding that Jesus came to this earth to die for the sins of the world, understanding that He was buried, understanding that He was raised, understanding that He ascended into heaven and set up on the right hand of the Father. But you're ready today to come and to make the confession before the ones that are here that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And have your sins washed away before it's everlasting too late. That opportunity is yours. And for those of you that are members of the Lord's church that have strayed away, the opportunity is given to you to come back to the fold before it's everlasting too late. For once saved is always saved. It's not a true statement. If you have sinned, you need to get that sin right. If you need to confess, you need to make that confession right. You need to do what you know to be right in the eyes of God. So that in the end you will not worry about where you're going to spend your eternity. You will know that you're going to enter into heaven because of what you've done. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.